Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to Scram, the podcast passionate about the Scottish food and drink scene. I'm your host, Rosanne Erskine, and earlier this summer I visited the Harris Distillery to hear all about their long-awaited whisky, the Herrick. The Herrick was launched in September and sold out straight away. Mary Morrison showed us around the distillery, telling us all about how the distillery came to be and its importance to those living on the island.
What he wanted was for people to learn new skills here in Harris, that they wouldn't have to leave home, that they would learn and that they would then, as they are in a position today, train the next and future generations.
I chatted with Mike McDonald, Chief Storyteller, and I had to ask about the pressure to design a new bottle when the Harris Gin bottle has become so iconic and much loved by so many.
But the bottle hit the market just at the right time. There was no one out there really focusing on bottle design, and people just fell in love with it. People have an emotional connection to it. So after all this time, the expectations were so high for the whiskey bottle.
Finally, we're invited outside to taste the new whisky. I was one of only two people who up to this point had the opportunity to sample the Herrick. I was pretty excited, I have to admit.
We set out to create a dram of distinction from the Outer Hebrides that is unique other than Abengerac, but I really think when I say we set out, it was really Ron and Simon and Burr.
First up, at 10 in the morning, I may add, you'll hear from Mary Morrison, our guide who gave us our first dram of the day, a 12-year-old Highland Park.
Now then, we are going to start this Harris Distillery tour with our tasting, 10 o'clock in the morning, best time of the day to have a taste of the new make spirit that we are producing here at the Harris Distillery. Now, we up until a couple of weeks ago were telling everyone that our whiskey would be ready when it's ready. Well, folks, it is now ready, but not quite to share with you yet. What we are sharing today is our new make. So if you want to take the tops off the drams you have in front of you, that new make is the clear spirit, and that is a very strong dram. That is 70% in alcohol strength. So take it up to the nose and tell me what you're smelling. Yes, you are. You're smelling the smokiness of that dram. What about yourselves? Are you smelling anything else?
Smelling the smoke now.
You are smelling it now that we see. Now, when you taste it, just take a tiny little drop in the mouth first of all. It's very strong. Hold it for a wee second and then just let it coat the inside of your mouth before you swallow. The reason I say that is so that your palate becomes accustomed to the flavour. So what on flavour are you tasting?
It's quite sweet.
It is very sweet. Yep.
Citrus.
Citrus, that's exactly what I was looking for. It is quite citrusy. But the second sip is a different sip. But this is the base spirit that will be our whiskey. So we are looking for the citrus, the smoky notes, but there's also the fruity sweetness going on.
Mary told us more about the new long-awaited first single malt legally distilled on Harris, the Herrick. We also hear about the distillery itself and how it all came about.
Now, the Herrick is the name given to our whisky. like yourselves, born and brought up here in Harris, is a perfect name for the whisky. But that whisky, though, in the first bottling, was 1,916 bottles. They've already been sold. People who joined us way back at the beginning of our journey bought the bottles, and they also bought a connection to this new distillery. That connection will be here forever. This room also designed to tell its own story. Now, you can imagine what it's like for that clear spirit aging, maturing inside the casks. So this room is designed in the same way, thinking about ourselves aging and maturing at different stages inside this cask. The walls darkened down to represent the inside of the cask, and you can see how the charring went on, and that is what happens inside a bourbon and a sherry butt, the toasting and charring of those casks before having any spirit placed in them. So these panels on the walls, these were oak flooring that was reclaimed, installed here from the central belt in Scotland. Oak features heavily, of course, in production. The table is oak. But in the centre of that table is a very unique rock that is found here in Harris. It's also found on the moon. That is anorthosite. And back in the early 90s, a French company were going to come to Harris to remove over 50 million tonnes of the anorthosite. The super quarry that was going to be created caused quite a stir here on the island, and a lot of islanders objected to the quarry. It didn't go ahead because the devastation was going to be quite significant down there in Lingerbie, taking away a mountain down to the south of Spain. The copper light box, which will later today let in the sunshine and the heat, will this will be just so warm later on this afternoon. But this reminds us of that very long journey our stills made across the Alps to reach us here from Siena in Italy. When the distillery was being built, there was a 6-year waiting list for Scottish copper. So we went across to the Frilly family, a grappa still producer in Siena. They designed the most beautiful stills for us, and we'll see them shortly. There's two to produce the spirit, and there's also the wee daughter, a wee gin still, sitting in her own wee still house upstairs, and I'll show you all of that later. You're also, of course, sitting comfortably for now on Harris tweed covered chairs. That, of course, is our island cloth. It's what we are, or were, maybe well known for here in Harris, before Harris Gin came on the scene.
We moved upstairs, where Mary told us how Lord Anderson Bakewell, known as Burr, came to found the distillery.
Now, there never had been any history of making whiskey here in Harris. Not legally, anyway. But Burr decided one day that it would be a great thing to do, to create a distillery with a view to creating employment. And what he wanted was for people to learn new skills here in Harris, that they wouldn't have to leave home, that they would learn, and that they would then, as they are in a position today, training the next and future generations. Now, we started off as a very small team of 10. Today, we are 51 in number, working for the company. What is one thing that you just wouldn't do here on an island in a business like this? Well, I'll tell you, you wouldn't talk about anybody. Why not? Well, would you believe me if I told you that my colleagues, Sandy and Shona and Leona, are married to three of these guys on the wall there? But anyway, folks, this distillery, Burr invested in from the outset. And then he managed to get 17 other people interested in this story. So much so that they put a significant amount of money in the pot. It was a 7-year funding process from 2007 until they had all the money to begin work on building the distillery in March of 2014. Our investors are all over the world, from the US, Germany, the Netherlands, Taiwan, and Ireland and UK-based business people. The government topped up the £8.5 million independent funding to just over £11 million so that work could begin. Now, it took a year and a half to complete this beautiful building. And on the 24th of September, 8 years ago, we opened the doors to the public for the first time. That night, we produced Harris Gin for our enjoyment. And I can safely tell you that some of us remember that night very well, some of us just don't. because this was the first night we got to taste Harris Gin. We walked in, it was just a sea of blue downstairs. There were just under 1,000 people came and joined us at our opening ceilidh. Skippinish played out in an empty warehouse blending hall. We danced into the night. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. And today, we cannot imagine what Harris would be like if we didn't have the distillery here in Tarbert. It is most definitely the hub in the village. It is also the best venue for having a really good ceilidh.
I had a chat with Mike McDonald, Chief Storyteller, who told me all about the important work of branding and imagery around their products. I started by asking him about the pressure to follow on from the game-changing gin bottle. So obviously the Harris Gin bottle in particular, obviously we know the liquid's really good, but the bottle in particular was a bit of a game changer in terms of design. It's won awards, people love it, they've made things out of it. At one point you were really scarce in it. So when it comes to the whisky, I imagine the pressure was on.
Yeah, to say the least. You know, I say it was a blessing and a curse without this beautiful bottle. You know, it's just part of the, you know, beautiful story, beautiful bottle, beautiful spirit. But the bottle hit the market just at the right time. There was no one out there really focusing on bottle design. People just fell in love with it. People have an emotional connection to it. So after all this time, the expectations were so high for the whisky bottle. From my point of view, I think what is more important is the spirit that's inside the bottle. And I'm aware that with whisky, there's a, I suppose, an aversion to over-marketing or, you know. So for me, the pressure's really on the distillers and the blenders to create a beautiful dram. But that said, you know, the Herrick is incredibly special to us. So, you know, we wanted to design a bottle that was part of the design family, that was equally as beautiful, but something that stood on its own, that had its own character, it had its own identity. I think when you look at the gin bottle, it's very tall and it's very elegant, and I think we wanted to go in a different direction for the whisky, something that was a little shorter, squatter, a little bit sturdier. So, yeah, it's been a really interesting journey, and we've put our designers, stranger and stranger, through the ringer, really pushing them to the limits, and not just them, but the glass manufacturers, even the label printers, the way the technical stuff worked on the label, we've really pushed the envelope on that as well. So it's been it's been a journey, but we've come through it, and I think I'm happy with the results.
So can you tell us about the process, what you kind of started with versus what you've ended with, and any sort of big challenges?
Yeah, Strange and Stranger had a bottle design stashed away since I think maybe 2018, 2019. So when we set a date for the Herrick, we brought these designs out of the folder and progressed them. We got as far as actually making a physical prototype. But when we saw the physical prototype and it was the same, the right colours and the right label and the right stopper, it just didn't look or feel right. It was great, don't get me wrong, but it just wasn't good enough. So we took the rather expensive decision to go back to the drawing board with them. Eventually they pulled a drawing, our computer generated render, from right off the very start of the project. I think it was maybe around about 2013, 2014, this drawing came up and we tried to emulate that. We called that the platonic ideal. It just existed on a computer. in two dimensions. So the task for them was to turn this artist's impression into a real object. So there was lots of 3D work getting done on that. We were obviously constrained by technical aspects of it. You can design anything you want on a computer, but you have to make a mass market bottle that is produced over and over again by a glass manufacturer. So not only did we challenge Stranger and Stranger design team, but it was the glass manufacturers and all sorts as well. So that was a long process, but we finally got to a 3D design we're really happy with. We got a 3D design that would work from the manufacturer's point of view. We did test runs on that. There were some issues. One of the problems was the thickness of the glass in places. When it came out of the mould, some bits were cooling down quicker than others, which caused the neck to stretch slightly. But we certainly navigated that with changes to the CAD design. There was another issue around something called crizzling, which I'd never heard of, but this was very fine ribs on the bottle. And when they cool, and if they cool too quickly, they start to crack. It's like little spider webs running through the glass. So that was another issue, which we had to go back to the CAD designs and tweak that. But eventually we got something that came off the production line consistently and beautifully. So yeah, it was a long process, but I think we've got something which now works in the real world and not just on a computer screen.
And so I've seen all your different prototypes and we've come to the final. Could you kind of talk us through it?
Yeah, sure. When we were thinking about the brand story and the marketing around it, we were thinking a lot about yin and yang, this sort of Eastern philosophy sort of idea. Burr, the founder, we had really good conversations with him about that. So I think we wanted the whiskey to be the same but different, the opposite, the flip side of the coin in terms of design looks. So the final product is much shorter. It's much stockier. It is squarer. It is more like an Art Deco sort of decanter. It fits in your hand like a glass sort of hand grenade. It is, you know, it's very different to the gin in terms of stature and dimensions, but the language, the design language, is very similar. So obviously on the gin, you've got these beautiful ripples, which are like the waves that come in at Liskintar. These flow very naturally around the bottle, but on the whiskey, it's more regimented. So we've got vertical and horizontal lines. And when you look through the glass, these lines converge. The obvious parallel is with Harris tweed. You have the warp threads and you have the weft threads. And when they crisscross together, you get a beautiful piece of elegant cloth. So these are the metaphors that we're sort of playing with. We now talk about the gin being from the sea, obviously with sugar kelp as the main botanical. Our whiskey is very much off the island or off the land. So we are going to be talking a lot about the elements off the island, but also the people that make it. So we will talk about the whiskey being woven from people and place, and all that comes back to the bottle and this idea of vertical lines and horizontal lines interweaving. The glass is also, if you know the gin bottle really well, it is imperfect. It's kind of asymmetric and it's got wee wonky bits and squinty bits. There are little dimples for thumbprints to hold it. The whiskey has that as well. It might look quite symmetrical, but as you turn it, you start to see all the little imperfections, which are really nice. The thumbprints are there as well. It reveals itself. One of the things we're interested in is that our whiskey will reveal itself over time. And the more I think you look at the bottle and spend time with it, you'll start to notice all these little details and, you know, little special bits. Both bottles have our motto on the bottom, Esse Quam Videri. So when you see them side by side, they're the same but different, but they're obviously from the same family. How people are going to interpret it, I don't know. It could be husband and wife, brother and sister, you know, just depends where your creative head's at. But yeah, it's I'm really pleased with how it's turned out.
And you talked about the stopper and the label as well. So the stopper is oak and the label is different colour. You're talking about different colours, but you've gone with kind of darker.
Yeah. Just going back to this idea of yin and yang. When you look at the gin bottle, obviously the label is very light. It's a very raw paper. It's the same with the stopper. It's a very light stopper and it's very raw wood. The whiskey label is much darker. It's still a very raw paper, and we've got it stamped or debossed with horizontal and vertical lines. The stopper is slightly more polished. We use beech for the gin, but we're using an oak for the wooden stopper. So it's, again, yin and yang, probably slightly more elevated in terms of the quality of the wood that we use. But again, when you see them side by side, they look similar but different. The thing is, that's just the bottle. We spend a huge amount of time on the packaging that goes around it. So we take this bottle, which holds our spirit, and then we wrap our story around it. That's a whole other conversation.
The gin does come in boxes, right? So the whiskey will be the same. Is that what you mean by the outer packaging?
Yeah. And again, we spent a huge amount of time designing the boxes from the ground up. Again, it uses the same design language, but the terms of the quality and the design techniques are probably a step up from what we've done with the gin as well. But we're really happy with the box as well. It's quite beautiful.
Yeah, it's lovely. Really nice. So we're probably about 6 months away from everybody making this into like a bottom of a light shade again.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do with it. But yeah, upcycling's good. So, you know, yeah, recycle, upcycle. Just make sure you drink the stuff that's in it first. And keep buying bottles, I guess.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Pleasure.
We're absolutely delighted to be invited to taste the header from a sample bottle outside the distillery by CFO Ron McEachran, Managing Director Simon Erlinger, and blenders Shona McLeod and Harrison Wood. Here's Shona mulling over how to introduce the spirit. Ron and Simon follow with their thoughts and refer to whisky legend Charlie McLean, an author and one of the leading voices in the whisky industry in Scotland.
I don't know how we should introduce it, because I would say something like we set out to create a dram of distinction from the Outer Hebrides that is unique other than Abengerac. But I really think when I say we set out, it was really Ron and Simon and Burr. We joined much later. I joined in December 2014. So really it's the journey starts a lot, you know, earlier than when I came on board. Especially with regards to whisky. Do you want to say something about what happened prior to that?
There was a key day I remember springs to mind, was in Leith, where we gathered with Burr and Charlie.
Charlie McLean?
Yeah. And we said to Charlie, I think, sort of, this is what we feel Harris kind of stands for. And this is what we're doing, this is what we're trying to achieve with this project, to create employment for Harris. And to the whole idea that Burr had at the beginning was to put Harris in a bottle somehow, just to capture the essence of Harris in a bottle and then send it out to the world. So that was his sort of romantic vision. So then we said to Charlie, right, no pressure, can you please now create a whiskey that does that? Give us an idea. So we had a half day brainstorm session, didn't we?
Yeah.
Flip chart.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say fortune here, but that's too much of a pun, but it did, absolutely. And then it morphed into the discussion about the different spirit types, didn't it? From there, with Jim Swan, the late Jim Swan.
Yep.
And always with this idea of a spirit of distinction that just captured the features of the island, including the sunshine, of course.
Remember the word elemental being used a lot?
That's right.
How would you describe Harris? It was elemental and contrasts, isn't it? Contrasts of weather, contrasts of topography from the bays.
We saw that today, and I kept explaining every sort of 5 minutes how the landscape was changing. It really does change every couple of miles. So initially I start talking about how this is not barley growing country, it's not farmland, it's very rocky, and then suddenly it looks really green when you turn the corner and you see the beaches and the Macher. And
the great thing about Burr is he's got this kind of that oneness with the island that it sets the bar high for what you're trying to achieve, because there's an element of kind of perfection in it, you know, that you know it's going to be a big ask to get there. So everybody who's really has been involved in this has been tasked with creating that, hopefully, spirit of distinction, and hopefully one that's true to the island. So you're about to tell us whether we've achieved that or not.
I like to say that's complex and full of character, just like the people that make it. And a point Harry made earlier today as well, and we realised when we were using the blending vat for the first time, was that the original distillers made what's in this year's dram. There's a whole new set of distillers now because the original guys have all moved on to other roles as their company grew, which is ticking the box massively as well in terms of our whole purpose and why we were here. So the younger distillers that joined us probably didn't realise that till we pointed it out. And a few years from now, it'll be their dram that we're bottling. So it's really special to all of us.
We started with a clean sheet. Nobody knew anything about distilling. And where we are now is night and day from where we started. And the knowledge that Shona and Harry are bringing now with their sensory perception and the steering the quality of the spirit, it's gleaned from that journey, but also from their exposure to other blenders in the industry. So it's been an enormous journey to get to this point, and it's kind of easy for us that are intimately involved with it to kind of sometimes forget just the journey that's been made.
We always say we wanted every drop to be distilled by Harry's hands, and we never took a distiller from the industry. Everyone that we recruited right from day one had joiners. Yeah. We had IT mm-hmm. consultants, facility management, yeah. And builders, and sent them off to the mainland to get some ideas about how to distill. But then, as you say, I think having these experts holding their hand all the way through from, I guess, Jim Swan, his role finished, I guess, prematurely because he died, sadly. But then Gordon Steele has been working with us ever since then. And Kenny Gray, he used to run a few distilleries, and we see them as kind of an extended part of the team, but they've always been there to kind of nurture and train rather than to do it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're really amazing in that regard, you know. Even with Harry and I, who are right at the bottom of the rung of the ladder in terms of blenders for 1 hour experience, but they're so supportive, aren't they? And they never make us feel like we don't know what we're talking about, or, you know, that we have a long way to go. They don't treat us like that at all. And same with the distillers, and I think that was what was so special. So they had that training on the mainland, well, fairly short-lived, really. You know, to learn the basic principles of distilling, which is essentially the same thing everywhere, just on usually on a different scale. And then they came home and learnt with their own plant, so everything that went wrong, as it does in new places, was sort of easier for them to fix in many ways because they knew it inside out. So, you know, if somebody just joins something that's up and running already, they don't have that insight. So I think that really helped. And although those original guys are in different roles, they're still here, so they can... they can help out if something doesn't go to plan.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. Slange.
Dave Broom, whisky expert, author and consultant, was also on the tour. It was interesting to hear his thoughts on the new whisky. Dave, we are one of the only two outside the business to try the Hedach whisky from Isle Harris Distillers. What do you think?
I think it's really excellent. It's a wonderful new addition to this new generation of distillers in Scotland. And I think one of the things that's exciting for me is the way that the West Coast and the Hebrides, you know, you're getting these amazing new whiskies coming out that aren't perhaps what you expect. You think, oh, everything's just going to be big and heavy and peaty, and it's not. This is subtle, it's balanced, there's lovely fruits to it, there's this mineral quality to it. The smoke is there, but it's very, very subtle. It's just, yeah, it's a lovely, lovely, bright, delicious dram.
Were you any part of it, or, like, do you sort of know what was happening before we sat down, stood up today to have it?
I mean, I came here a couple of years back on another project, actually, in a book project, and we'd sat in the bar in the hotel and had some cast samples and looked at ex-bourbon, looked at Oloroso casks and then also Fino casks. And the Fino casks were just this, suddenly took the distillery character and put it in a slightly different place, because not many distilleries use Fino, and Fino just gives this brightness, saltiness, kind of flowery, bready, almond-like quality to it. You know, the wine kind of comes through rather than the wood. And that I think, has just taken a delicious, young, bright whiskey and pushed it off into a really interesting, really intriguing new direction. So, yeah, it's lovely to come back, you know, after a couple of years to see how all these different casts have come together into this new recipe.
Well, thank you very much.
That's fine. I'm just getting a midget in my glass.
It's that time of year. It's yours.
Slide.
Thanks to my guests on this episode, and thanks to you for listening. Please remember to rate, review and subscribe so you never miss an episode of Scran. Scran is a Laudable podcast. It's co-produced and hosted by me, Rosin Derskine, and co-produced, edited and mixed by Kelly Crichton.